that there was a young man, a young Australian man named James Harrison, who needed an open heart surgery, and it required 13 pints of other people's blood to get him through the surgery. After his recovery, and he had heard how many pints of blood that he needed and required, he vowed to become a blood donor. And over the years, he did just that. It seems at the same time, though, in Australia, the physicians were trying to figure out how to prevent thousands of miscarriages caused by a blood disease in that country as well. What they found was that if the mother's blood type was Rh negative and the baby's blood type was Rh positive, the mother's blood type was incompatible for the child, and it kind of attacked it. But they found that in James Harrison's blood and plasma, that it contained the perfect antibody that was needed for the babies, and they created a whole program around it and called the injection Anti-D. Over the next 60 years, as James continued to donate blood, the injections that were made from it helped more than 2.5 million Australian babies survive in the womb, and his blood saved millions. As we gather today around this table, we too are benefiting from the donation of one man's blood for the entire world. The blood of the Old Testament sacrifices of bulls and goats and were insufficient to save us, and could never contain, if we want to put it this way, could never contain the antibody that Christ's pure and precious blood contained. The writer of Hebrews kind of puts it this way, if we want to think about it this way, in Hebrews 9, 11 through 14. For he says, and when Christ appeared as a high priest of good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling, those who have been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Here at the table, these emblems remind us of the greatest blood donation of all time. When we go and donate blood, while that's a great thing to do, we walk out only having given a small portion of what we have. Christ gave it all. He gave it all that we might live today. This remembrance keeps the Christian in contact with the life-giving blood of Christ. As we partake of the fruit of the vine, it represents that blood. As we partake of the unleavened bread here, it reminds us of that body of Christ. So today, let's remember that sacrifice and that it was made possible for you and I to have that living, life-saving relationship with him. Dear Father in heaven, as we thank you for this symbolism today, Lord, that this cup which represents your pure and precious blood and this bread, which represents the body that was beaten and torn apart there on Calvary, but freely given on our behalf. Freely given up so that we might have eternal home with you someday if we're just obedient to you. Thank you so much for this time of remembrance and this time to bring this foremost in our minds. This love that you've shared and expressed to us is beyond our comprehension at times, Lord, but we just thank you for this time of remembrance, and we just pray that as we do so, it would stir us on to be a better servant of yours in the coming days and weeks and months and years to come because of your love. For it's in his name we pray.